Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
All right, sup fam, welcome to the ROI of Y, your number one podcast that focuses on all things impact and purpose as it relates to business. This is Andrew, and I'm joined by you-know-who, Angie Kubicek.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Living.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Gearing up for the holiday kickoff to the seasons here soon. We have Thanksgiving just around the corner.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's fun. It's a little different for me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't eat turkey.
Yeah. I think of it about the family coming together aspect. So what do you eat as a non-meat Thanksgiving meal?
Tofurkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does it look like a turkey?
No.
No? I don't know. You call it tofurkey, so I just in my head envision like a jello mold of like tofu looking like a turkey.
I mean, that could be cool.
It could be.
Yeah.
Or a meatless burger. Those are all the rage these days.
I tell you what, though, the Impossible Burger or Beyond Meat, either one, good.
Have you had the Burger King one? Or have you just stuck to the Red Robin world?
So, I'm not proud of it, but the other day I had a pretty rough day, and I definitely stress ate an Impossible Burger from Burger King.
Was it as good as the commercials are saying it is, or is it a
no? It's Burger King.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's garbage food.
I haven't eaten there in a very long time, but I also eat McDonald's at times, so not like I'm too highbrow.
Pinky out kind of deal.
Did it hit expectations?
I mean, I wasn't hungry when I was done.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, so it's still good.
But I do love cooking in the vegan lane or whatever. Like, I've always enjoyed cooking. I've always been really good at it. But you know, turning to a vegan lifestyle has introduced a whole new layer of creativity that didn't exist before. And I'll tell you what, like, when it's done right, there's this restaurant in Omaha called Modern Love, and it is my favorite restaurant on the face of the earth. I've taken a lot of my carnivorous friends there, and going into it, there was, you know, a little apprehensive or, you know, whatever. But none of them have ever left saying, I didn't enjoy that. Like, mm-hmm. Just the flavors, the taste, just how, it's so good.
So good.
So good.
It can be good. I will, as a meat eater, I will attest, I've gone to vegan places, mm-hmm. and there are some very delicious meals out there to be had.
Sure.
So we can all eat together mm-hmm. on the holidays.
Yeah.
But very fun. Yeah. So last week we kind of dug in on this whole, like, how do we start to define purpose? How do we start asking the questions that get us down this path to what does our company actually stand for beyond just making a thing or providing a service, mm-hmm. but what makes us all get out of bed, right? So I kind of wanted to dig in this week on like why this matters in today's business environment. I think in some conversations I've had outside of the podcast, people are like, yeah, that sounds like really nice, but does it actually matter to the dollars and cents of a business? Is this sustainable? And I think when you look at the data of what people are expecting out of companies, it's becoming a like it has to be there. Like it's mm-hmm. no longer this question mark of does a company have purpose? It's just what is the purpose? And so I kind of just wanted to dive in a little bit and just kind of riff on why this kind of like matters to generations, mm-hmm. why it matters for business and how businesses can start responding? How can we start activating people to change hiring practices or workflow practices? And so Dustin might get thrown into the ringer here a couple of times. He's our amazing producer on the show, but just might get some extra opinions on this one, because I think sometimes Drew and I come from the lens of, you know, we're tasked with being the accountability driver sometimes, but it's good to hear from people who are solid at doing the job. They work at companies, like you work for a company that has purpose. So it'll be kind of fun to hear different perspectives on, is this actually a generational thing? Are people just checking the box because it was the right answer to give? And so it'll be kind of fun today. Yeah. A little beat around the bush, but kind of start it today. I think the stat that kind of like made my brain go, whoa, is that 80% of millennials are saying that businesses have to be a force for positive change in our society. Mm-hmm. And that 47 or 48% of people are going into the workforce saying, like, I need great compensation. But the thing that's second in line to that, with the 41% most important thing in job consideration, is, does the company have a purpose? Mm-hmm. Did that matter to either of you when you were looking for a job? And then if it didn't, then does it now?
Do you want that?
Yeah. Well, it didn't. It wasn't a thing for me at the beginning of my career, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I was just networking my way into whatever I could do. But, you know, one of the biggest reasons we wanted to merge with FireSpring was because of the purpose part of it.
And so I think it's kind of interesting. Dustin comes from us. His first agency he worked at one of his agencies that you worked at got merged in with FireSpring.
Yep.
So that was about 4 or 5 years ago at this point?
Yeah, about 4 or 5, yeah.
And then Drew, as we've touched on, his company has merged in with FireSpring. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's... And I know that was a huge driver for you.
Yes, it was. When I first started my career, even before I started my first agency in Denver, was that like a driving force for me? No, just straight up.
Yeah.
It was. It wasn't a thing that I was really focused on. I was focused on growing a company as aggressively as I could to create not only sustainability for my family, but also to create something that could potentially be a driver for legacy for them. But then as I became more exposed to different things and different humans like Jay, I started to wake up quite a bit. And I feel like at some point in this conversation, maybe that'll be a story I tell. So Not yet.
Okay, we'll hold on that.
Yeah.
We'll bring it up later. But I think it's, so for me, like I started my career 15, 20 years ago, and it wasn't even a conversation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even an option. I don't know about for you guys, but it just in my world, it was like, no, you're going to go make $7 an hour, and you're going to go get a job, and you're going to work a kajillion hours a week and do the thing. And I think it's kind of insane to think, as we look at the evolution of technology and how, I just remember learning about like ethnocentric societies and then having a global society view, that technology has allowed that to exponentially grow. And I think through that, this social capitalism and social impact really came to the forefront for people in a way that it never was before, because we weren't exposed to it. Like, I think the message frequency that we get and the ability to read any news story in the world, essentially at this point, has changed our, or at least my personal like propensity to feel like I have to do things thinking globally instead of just personally.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a huge shift for people as they've kind of, generations are evolving. I mean, I'm on the older end of a millennial, but when I think about the younger millennials and the Gen Zers, they have grown up in a world that is so open and connected, with the air quotes of connected, that no other generation has experienced. So I think that's what's one of the main drivers for this like social focus. I don't know. Do you align to that perspective, or what else do you think is like influencing this complete shift in how people are demanding businesses to operate?
I can't speak for like Gen Z.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the younger millennials. I have spent a lot of time contemplating it, and I have a theory.
And what is that theory? Let's dive in.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go there.
All right. You just gave me 15 minutes. Appreciate that.
Sweet. Let's take a nap. No, I'm kidding.
I feel like a lot of Gen Z, younger millennials, older millennials, some baby boomers, humans, are really starting to understand that these parameters that society has given us as to what is normal and what is acceptable and what is the expectation is a bullshit lie. Okay. I feel like a lot of us feel that we are just doing the lemming thing. You wake up, the expectation is brush your butt, wash your teeth, go to work, make sure your pants are on the right way. Don't say no, do the thing. Overworking is cool, right? The level of stress that you carry is directly correlated to your success. Also, before you go to bed at night, make sure you post that obligatory Facebook post to make sure that everybody out there thinks your life is rad. Go to sleep, and guess what? Groundhog's Day. Do it again. Uh-huh. And do it again.
Great movie.
And
reference.
Do it again. And do it again. Until you get to the point where you're 67 and a half, and if you're lucky, you can retire. And then at that point, you have maybe 10 years to live your life. That is stupid, in my opinion. And so I say all that because I feel like a lot of people are really starting to wake up to the fact that we as a society are living to work.
Yeah.
And it should be the other way around.
Yeah.
Work is important. And I'm not saying I want to go full rip punk rock anarchy. I'm also not saying I want to sell all my worldly possessions and never wear shoes again, but also I hate shoes. That'd be tight. and just like become this isolated monk that is only like it's all about, the Tibetans call it majumaka, which means middle balance. And so I think it's, and again, I don't have answers, I only have questions, but I think that it's all about finding balance. And
yeah,
while I may not agree with what society is saying is the expectation that is normal and acceptable, I still have to operate within it, right? Because
right.
I have a gnarly mortgage and I have all the kids and I have all these things that I need to make sure I'm taking care of.
Responsibilities to those.
But I've also really developed the sensibility that as humans, we spend so much time and invest so much energy stressing and worrying about what's behind us in the past, even though that doesn't exist anymore. That's not a real thing,
right?
No matter how much you want to think it is, it's not. But then also so much stress, time, and worry about what is to come in the future. And I can't remember the statistic, but I did read an article that explored that, and it said that like 97-ish something percent of the crap that we stress out about and worry about.
It's so true.
What a waste of time. Make all of those points to say that very few of us actually experience now.
Yeah, that's so true.
Furthermore, none of us actually allow ourselves to experience now, which sucks because that's the only thing that's guaranteed.
That's such a like big statement, because I think about this like keeping up with the Joneses mentality. I think about how we are so air quote connected. That we see the fake Facebook world where everyone's like, oh, perfect snap to end my day, all the things. Most of that's so fake. And so we're creating this like, it's Fakestagram or something. I'm going to act like I'm super trendy and cool, but I'm not. But there's this like faux lifestyle that people are putting out there. And I think it's
Finsta.
Yeah, it's creating this like illusion of what's real. And I worry sometimes because I think, will people be able to really detach reality from that? And then living in the now and just like appreciating what you have. And so I think that's where there is a little bit of this tilt going back to this social impact, and that people are trying to find that balance and that middle ground. And but also understanding that we can't just live in this like linear view anymore. And so it's finding that interesting stride to where like I'm willing to not make the gross amount of money because I realize that I also want to create this good in the world, or I want to be able to support this cause, or I want my company to be able to have more environmentally sound paper or whatever it may be to operate our business. Those are a give and pull. And so I think what sometimes, especially in the older generation, some of the things I hear is that people think it's this like lofty ethereal, like, oh my gosh, they're all just looking for sunshines and buns. But it's like, no, it's just we have to talk about the reality of how do we achieve both.
I feel like it's people want to be alive.
Yeah.
But legitimately experience that, right? And I can't help but like think through not only the contemplation that I've had, but the conversations that I've had that have really opened my eyes to the fact, and you touched on it, that everything is veneer and superficial. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what's really motivating humans, regardless of generation, to start looking at things based on purpose and impact, right? Because so much stuff is, just like you described, just superficial.
It totally is.
And if you really start going down that rabbit hole, you realize that it's not just your Finsta or how many likes you get on Facebook. It can also be applied to the daily delta. So when you're cruising through the office and you're saying things to other humans, a lot of those things are motions that are meaningless. And I feel like that sucks. And so I will tell you a story that I've only told, I don't know, 12 humans as to like what has gotten my mind to start looking at things through this perspective, because it's vastly different than where I was 8 months ago. I feel like if you have to look through life, or I'm sorry, if you have to look at life through, let's say, a mason jar, right? And it's like smashed up against your face. There's no way around it. And the expectation is life is on the other side of that jar, but the jar has to be like, you have to look at life through this jar, right? That's just, work with me here. I feel like for my 36 years of existence, that jar has just been 100% full of fog or smoke or whatever. And I couldn't see, I could hear things, I kind of make things out. But because of the story I'm about to tell, I feel like some of that fog or smoke has dissipated. And I don't know how much, I don't know if it's 1% or if it's 10%, but I know for sure that I see things very differently, as weird and crazy and heady as that sounds. And so what like sent me down this path of contemplation, gnarly contemplation, about, I don't know, 7 months ago, I checked every box for colon cancer one Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And that shit runs rampant in my family. And so it was a Sunday, so I can't call like my primary doctor, whatever. I don't have a cell phone, but I do have a really close friend who's a doctor. So I call him and walk him through what's going on. He's like, okay, here's the dude in Omaha. I want you to call him, tell him I sent you. He'll see you ASAP. So I was able to get in like next day. And he did the thing. And he's like, I'm like 90% sure you're good. But because of your family history and because I can't send you out of here unless it's 100%, I want to go in and like investigate and see what we're up against. And that's going to involve us putting you to sleep and doing all these things. See you in 6 weeks. And I was like, what? 6 weeks? And he's like, yeah, as soon as we can get you in. Okay. Those 6 weeks were intense. Mm-hmm. I literally thought about everything. I thought through like, okay, how do I make sure that like, if this is it for me, because where I screwed up is I Googled it. How do I send a message to my now 3-year-old when he graduates college? Like, I thought through everything, and I've been a Buddhist for 21 years, a bad Buddhist. all these things that I'm supposed to be contemplating as it relates to like the nature of impermanence and mortality were very surface level for me in terms of my understanding. But for 6 weeks, I straight up looked at mortality and faced it and accepted it. I don't have colon cancer. Woo. All good. But that is what started this like intense looking inward and contemplating the things. And it has gone through a lot of ups and downs in terms of like taking hard looks at myself, hard looks at, you know, society, reality, what's important. And that's really what's gotten me to this point of understanding that there is so much more to checking the boxes. And I can't help but feel like there are a lot of humans out there that have had similar experiences, maybe, maybe not, or they have similar sensibilities motivated by different things. I feel like that's the beautiful thing about life, is we can all come to similar conclusions with through employing different pathways. But I really feel that a lot of people are really trying to focus on what does it mean to be alive and not just go to work because that's what I'm supposed to do with my time mm-hmm. on this planet.
Yeah, and I think that's the hardest barrier for a lot of businesses to break down. And I think the thing that you speak to a lot is that you can't make a statement for another person. Mm-mm. So for businesses to like hear that and think, well, that's a great story, but we all have to go to fucking work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So the thing is though, how can you make the jobs that you're creating
meaningful?
Make people feel like they're doing something? And so like I come to work and I look at Excel sheets every day mm-hmm. and I sit here and I build plans and strategies, but I firmly believe within the core of my DNA that every day I come to work, I get to do work that will create progress for a company so they can continue to employ X number of people. And when I know that those businesses are going to have great impact to their communities, mm-hmm. to the local economies, that's a pretty hella good purpose for me outside yeah. of even the fact that my company wants everyone volunteering. Like you get audited on it, or at least I audit my team. Did you get your 8 hours in every month? Mm-hmm. What held you back? How can I empower you to do that? You know, and those are legit questions. And we block out calendar time so they can get their volunteering because that's important. Yeah. But to me, like there's no better purpose to get out of bed than to know that marketing for me is like not just marketing and a gimmick and some bullshit tagline. It yeah. is, we are creating stories so people can actually go out and build connections yeah. and build up a business, or you build out a business plan. And so as you think about that purpose that we talked about last week, and then you think about how do you define the roles within your company that address that? Mm-hmm. Because like you said, you have a mortgage, you have kids, you mm-hmm. have colleges, like all the things. Like yeah. we have to plan for all of those things and for the future, but we also have to live in the moment. And so as mm-hmm. companies, I think we had this huge misstep, and this is my opinion, and you can say I'm ludicrous, but when I got my first iPhone, mm-hmm. because I was the social media manager for a company, I thought it was the most badass thing in the world. Mm-hmm. What I didn't realize in that moment was I unlocked my life to a company 24/7. Mm. There became this expectation with the advent of Blackberries and iPhones and smartphones that you will be available. Mm-hmm. You can now be available. And so I sometimes think back to the days of yesteryear when like my dad was, you know, a budding business professional and he had his young kids that he had to sit his ass at his office to get the work done or bring the briefcase home and mm-hmm. like do the thing. But he couldn't, I mean, people had to like legit do that. For some reason, that voice to voice is the thing that breaks people. Oh, I can't call them at home. That's right. Inappropriate.
Right, right.
But I'll email the shit out of them.
Right.
So it's just like we changed our availability. And so I think when we talk about purpose and this balance, the thing that I don't want people to lose is that sometimes your purpose is how you treat your employees mm-hmm. and how you, as a team and as an owner or a manager, how are you giving your employees balance and reminding them to live those opportunities. Mm-hmm. I had a similar moment a few years ago where I worked for this company and it was going through a really hard time. And I was like committed to getting them out of this like depths of hell. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment where I had gone back to Cincinnati because I had a week-long trip in Columbus. And so my aunt was in failing health at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fly out early. I'm going to spend the weekend there, help out with my aunt, try and, you know, bring a fresh perspective because I'm mm-hmm. not in the daily of that struggle, and then head up to Columbus for this work event. Well, the day I was there, my aunt's health took a serious turn for the worse, like went into hospice. It was like super bad, but I got to be there, which was like this incredible like gift I got.
Yeah.
But then I get back from my work trip and she passes away.
Sorry.
And my boss at the time did not make me feel like I could go home for the funeral. And I stayed, and then fast forward 3 months, they lay off the digital department, right? So here I'm still going through like the grief of losing an aunt that meant a lot to her family. And I stayed back for this company that gave me the boot 3 months later. And so, like, for me, that changed the way that I manage my teams, the way I manage relationships with people. And so even without having this purpose thing, or like, I'm not writing checks to give back or anything, but my purpose came to never let someone experience that again. Mm-hmm. So when we think about purpose and how do we connect with the generations, it goes back to, I think, a fundamental theme in all of this is we treat people like humans and we allow people to have a life.
I think that is it. That's like
so
the number
the
one thing that.
Done. No,
yeah. Well, see ya.
Yeah.
No, but I think that that's
a great time.
That's like hammer on the nail. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of us forget that for no fault of our own. Maybe it's because we're so plugged into this system that we have all agreed that is normal. But I see so many people, so many humans not treating other humans like humans. And humans have this ability, this disgusting ability to wreck other humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we talked about it last time. It's the little things that can really make an impact or change a day. And that is empowering. When you unlock that part of your mind, that can really change things.
Yeah. And I think that's why we're seeing this also shift. So like Gary Vee will talk about it a lot. Like everyone wants to be a fucking entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Like this is ludicrous. Like I want to play basketball, but I'm not LeBron James. So right. I shouldn't go be in the NBA because like I'll never thrive.
Right.
Likewise, not everyone should be an entrepreneur, but I think we're seeing this like crazy launch into entrepreneurial world because people are craving leadership that treats people like human and that they feel like they have control back. I think we went through this like dog eats dog world for a while. And I think people are wanting to get back to that average again. But all that said, businesses, it's not like you have to do this and sacrifice being profitable, getting work done. You can still do all of those things. And in fact, statistics are showing that if you told a millennial that they were going to have a work-life balance and like actually like showcase that, have something that is like for social impact, this is how we're committed to our communities, and this is how we're committed to our team members, millennials will take and Gen Zers will work for a lesser paycheck knowing they get balance. So I'm not saying pay people like crap because they're only going to do so much work, but there's a give and take there. There's also that dedication. If my company is going to treat me well and treat me like a human, I'm going to dig in when I need to dig in. But
and your
also,
retention is probably higher as well.
I know that my company's going to have my back when I need it to have my back. And I think that's a big thing within this like new world of business we're experiencing, is that that's what people are craving. And if they're not finding it in their marketplace, they're going to try to create it. And I think that's going to have its own negative consequence.
I agree, because a lot of the things, entrepreneurship especially, or entrepreneurship especially, that has been romanticized. And my biggest qualm with that, having lived that life for a decade, it's often talked about as if it's easy. And it's not. For 10 years, I've worked 16-hour days. I have the most screwed up sleep schedule that I cannot fix, regardless if I'm working in those on those mornings or during those mornings or not. It's like nobody talks about the downside of it, the negative implications, the adverse health effects. Nobody's talking about mental health as it relates to entrepreneurship.
Oh, gosh.
That's a separate conversation. But I feel that you summed it up perfectly. Balance. Right? If you treat other humans like actual humans, in our last conversation, our last episode, we had talked about like just talking to people and finding out what motivates them. Why are you here? Like, what do you feel is your role with our purpose? And like those kinds of experiences, I really believe are why we're seeing this shift.
Yeah.
Right.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, if you're a smaller business or an enterprise business, like these are the conversations that really will start to move the needle. And I know, and we have this topic planned for down the road, but 2020, it's going to be a crazy year. So we're expecting a recession in these hard times. this is the thing that will get your employees in a hard year to dig in and have your back. So right. like we talk about our values all the time. It's like have each other's back, bring it every day and give a shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, FireSpring's not perfect. We've had some rough days. And like I told my team yesterday, you guys, it's easy to live our values when it's like, oh my gosh, Dustin brought me a coffee today because he knew I didn't sleep well. That's so amazing. And that's like being caring and a human and awesome. But it's also then like digging in when it's like, hey guys, it's going to be super shitty the next few months. Mm-hmm. This is what we need from everyone so we can get back to balance. Right. People are more willing to do those type of activities with transparency, vulnerability, and just like treating people fairly. Mm-hmm. And that's what, when we think about where things are going and everyone's saying like these generations are soft, these generations aren't soft. They're just tired of watching people get like beat up all the time.
And also I think—
And they have a demand for not that.
Also, I feel like they do the things that they care about, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a different shift than we're used to. But everything you just explained and described, you know, when there's a downturn or there's going to be a rough month or we need people to dig in, whatever, the likelihood of them doing that, mm-hmm. willingly doing that, is exponentially increased when they care.
Yeah.
So how do you get them to care?
Yeah.
Create an environment that humanizes that experience, mm-hmm. that is purpose and impact driven, that is inclusive.
Yes.
Right.
Oh man, that's another topic down the road. Oh boy.
But I feel like all of those things create that kind of ecosystem. And again, I don't have answers. I only have questions. And I have a limited experience and capacity over the last decade, but that's what I've seen. And I feel like that needs to be more of a focus. And it's exciting to see that it's becoming one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be super cool to see, you know, I think it's something we talked about with Jayco and Gilbert, that what businesses are able to sustain some of the hard turns because they've changed their business practice or they set it up correctly. And so I'm kind of, like I said, not excited, but I'm intrigued to see how the next few years go for some businesses that have made this commitment to see and to be able, I firmly believe it'll show how they've made it through the other end and that they'll do it well. And then the businesses that have not done that, that treat their employees like crap, that don't try and find a better way to handle the hard times, those are the companies that we will see quickly dissolve or over time dissolve, to where we will see this kind of shift. And it's going to be interesting with this, like we have older millennials now becoming business leaders and influencers, how they're going to change the way businesses respond over this next couple of years. Yeah. I think it's going to be insane.
Well said.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That was a good topic. Who knew? This is what we'd unpack today. Love it when that happens.
Me too. Heavy conversations, my favorite.
Well, it's important. To me, like, this is the meat of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just the...
Rainbows and unicorn farts are cool, but...
They are, but it's not just the feel good, but it's also... This then becomes very actionable.
Yeah.
And you can actually probably, like, track it and manage to it and hold people accountable, like... An accountability scorecard of like, did you treat people like a human today? Is your team balanced?
Right.
Like, shockers for the world.
Weird concept.
I know.
Man. No, I enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for, you know.
Thanks for being
having it with me. Anyways, make sure you guys subscribe to the show. Tune in next week as we continue to rip down this path that is exploring purpose, how to do the thing, all the things.
Yeah.
Right?
Just continuing to evolve and grow, really is going to start focusing in on, like, you know, we've touched on these movements. And next we're going to dig in on like 1% for the planet. I think just talking about how you can do it at different scales.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to go there.
Yeah, it'll be good stuff. It'll be good stuff. So hit us up on social. If you guys have any thoughts, feedback, ideas for who should come on the show, looking forward to connecting with you guys next week. But until then, I am Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.
I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
Your idea for a gift might not be the puppy they want, but if it's toys, Family Dollar can help with buy one, get one half off all toys $5 and up. See store for details. And if you are getting that puppy, we've still got you covered with food and treats for every pooch. Save more at Family Dollar. Your idea for a gift might not be the puppy they want, but if it's toys, Family Dollar can help with buy one, get one half off all toys $5 and up. See store for details. And if you are getting that puppy, we've still got you covered with food and treats for every pooch. Save more at Family Dollar.